find the relevant people from the sports level about the meeting, where you have short and so on, and so that you take on these papers, because the whole thing now collapsed. The other item, I want us quickly to adopt the program. You have an annexure of a program there with you. Let's quickly go through that and then and ask for somebody to propose for the adoption of this program for this term, and then we must go ahead. We've already passed there because the 20th of July has passed. The 27th of July. Is today. Yesterday is today. And then the third is next week. So today we are having a briefing on the school sports by education and our own department. And then on the third we are having a briefing by the coaches. We're going to have an interaction with the coaches, all the coaches, indigenous coaches of South Africa. We have not invited coaches that have come for employment in the country. Those are not South African coaches. Those are coaches here. We're clear that we have invited our own coaches in the country and interact about with them around issues that are within their area. In as far as football is concerned, we are going to talk about that. There are huge problems around players, strikers, the performance of the team, and all those other things. So we want to interact with them and find out what is the problem, and then interact with them. And at the same time, we will be interacting with the DG. There are agents who are in business with football. They are selling players, they are signing players on contract, and all those other things. We are going to interact with those agents because the agents have informed me that, JJ, when you are a black agent or a colored agent or any other, you have a top player that you give to Sundowns. Sundowns will not take that top player. But when you have a Graham Scholar and you bring a West player, Sundowns will take that player. But because, again, the question of these agents is job within sport, we have to interact with that area of jobs within a sport there. So we're going to interact with them, those people. So we're going to couple that together with the coaches that are come. Ted Dimitro, Clive Barker, all those coaches. We are going to interact with them and just find out. On my email, I have an email written by, on the 22nd, by Ted Dimitro. He's saying many other things. Why the African team were boomed out of the competition. They could not go to another state. And he has written a very thought-provoking paper and an email to me. Yeah. Then I said, Paul, we must bring that email, and then we must share that email. And then when Ted Dimitro comes here, we must ask him questions around that, because he's saying some of the things that ourselves agreed on, as with the department. But these coaches have been doing these things all the time. Because one of the things that he raises there, he said, we will never have strikers in South Africa. We will never have strikers in South Africa. Because we believe in strikers that comes from other countries. And those strikers from other countries, they are the top national team strikers. When they leave South Africa, they are having a call of duty in their own country. They become top national strikers. Because our league in South Africa, it's falling within the top 10 league in the world. That is very effective, manageable, and good. And so he's saying all those other things. So we are going to hear what is this thing that Ted Dimitro is saying, and then we're going to share with all of them around these matters. On the 10th, we are going to meet with the DG. But DG will tell us today, so that at least we must see whether we take that out. We're going to meet with the DG on the white paper for sports and recreation. And we need a briefing if that document is ready. If it's not ready, we will skip it and get somewhere. And we will be also, give me the outdated one. This one is outdated. Maybe to members also, I'm reading the very outdated one. Yeah, the other matter that we are going to handle on that day, come from the hearer, it's a matter of an inquiry on the Castus Minya saga. It's not going to be a very nice meeting, Gigi, that we're going to have with it's on the 10th. It's not going to be a very nice meeting on that meeting, because members are sitting here. We were informed that there will be terms of reference given to SASCOC. We were informed that there is an interim committee there. That interim committee is running for 9 years. It's going for the 10th month next month, in 2 days from now. The 10th month. You cannot have an inquiry on an entity like Athletics South Africa, so small, and then you have 10 months. But the other thing that is in the honorable members is that these people that are doing this inquiry at DG, they are numerated. You want to check who's paying them, and then what is the rate for those people? Maybe that is the reason that has made them to take this long to conclude this inquiry, because theirs was just about funding. The other thing is that these athletes that we know performing very well, they are in disarray. Others are feeding their families. They have not received their honorarium or whatever that is due to them when they go and participate, and the others are full-time, and there's nothing that they've got there. I'm sitting with a letter. That is a very sad letter that comes from a group of those athletes that are saying life was better at the time of President Leonard Tweny. It's hell now there in Athletics South Africa. And over the weekend again, I've seen the article of a revolt of these athletes around what they're supposed to get. I'm watching very close. These that have just won the medals, high jump, and this other one that were running, what would be the case in as far as their honorarium is concerned? And the other thing was that the Athletics South Africa was, that interim committee was on the air saying they are going to get a sponsor, and because NetBank has withdrawn out of the sponsor, and because of their credibility, they will be able to get the sponsor. I want to check the credibility that they have, what extent have made them to acquire a sponsor as quick as they can. But this is not going to be a very nice meeting, TG. I have some clips of the newspapers, unless newspapers are not telling the truth, of some statement made by the administrator in charge, Mr. Mali, around some statement that he made on the suspended president of Athletics South Africa. I do not think DG is correct for that committee to trial Leonard Tweny in the media. And I think that committee must have ethics to say, we have been given responsibility to deal with this matter. We will not communicate any other thing up until we have communicated this report to correct people. And by the time this report has gone out, then we'll make some comments if we are asked about that. I think that's a simple ethical way of handling a matter. So we want to ask about those statements that are there. Because the terms of reference that the DG and myself knows, and these members of committees, one terms of reference. Go and check whether Len actually had negligently and deliberately he didn't handle the case of Custis Minya testing properly, or what was going on there. The issues of the finance, the issues of all other things that this so-called interim committee has gone into were not what we informed as terms of reference. I do not know what has informed them to go to that level. Because if there was any other problem, if there was any irregularities and all that, the department or them, they would have come to the department and request that there is an irregularity in the department. We are requesting the minister to use the law and intervene. But they must not come with a disguise and say, we are going to check the issue of Custis Minya. And then in the long run, the focus is no more on Custis Minya now. It has now gone to other matters, which were not matters that were a point of contention. When this, if the case of Custis Minya could not emerge, there would have never been any stage where the administrator would go there and go and check the books and everything of the Athletic South Africa. I want to be very clear. I don't say that they could have not done that, but they could have done that informed by that kind of a crime. Not informed by something and then later they quickly jump on a certain pendulum and deal with this matter. But did you, what was disturbing over the weekend was a statement made by Gideon Sem that he's briefing minister. We are not accountable to the minister. And I am going to make it very clear when he comes here. We are not accountable to the minister. And not even a single day would ever be accountable to a cabinet minister, a member. Never, never, not even a single day. So we want to be very clear to him that if he has informed the minister, it is not our business. It's not our business. And finally, he has to come here and say, we're interacting with the minister on this matter. It's not our business. Our business is that now we want to interact with them. Interaction with their own minister, it is not the issue with us. The issue here in terms of the rules of parliament is that both SASCOC and the minister collectively, if it's so required, they will come and account to this committee about the activities and everything that they're doing on a daily basis. That is what the law says, and that is what the rule says. And that is what the constitution says. So I didn't like what I heard there. By the Times newspapers distort some of these things, and they're not right. But if those things were right, that were said by the newspaper around the utterance of Mr. Semp briefing the minister, therefore there's no need to brief the portfolio committee. It's a very serious thing. Because I warned him last time and said, no. Then he apologized that he was misled. When he was saying they're not coming to the committee, they're not accountable to the committee. And he was here, you remember, on a member, and apologized that no, somebody misled him and said, no, leave them, you're not accountable to them. Now, when he's sitting here, and then we ask him questions, and then he said, no, I was misled, I want to apologize. Somebody told me that, no, you're not accountable to the committee. And then for, I hope in this case he's not going to feel misled. DG, the very important meeting that we're going to have is on the 17th. And this one, I want the DG, it's a matter of life and death. It's around the whole cities, the CC stadium managers, and the Department of Public Works, and our sons, around the plan beyond the 2010 stadium. Because, DG, some of the things that we pick up are a little bit disturbing. When the team says, for us to use the FNB stadium, we have to pay R1 million. R1 million is going to make FNB to be a white elephant. No team will pay R1 million there. Our teams, all of them, 16 of them in the professional soccer league, the ticket is R20. The ticket is not R350 like in the rugby or R100. The ticket for football is R20. Now, when that stadium has 90,000 people who pay R20, you don't even have that R1 million to pay for the stadium out of the money that you got from all the gate taking. You have to pay 500,000 rand for security in that kind of a stadium out of that money, and then they go there without any money. Because security at the F&B basic is 500,000 rand for these so-called security people that are there. So we have to meet with these people, and then we have called the stadium manager, Andrew Di Pila, and many of those, so that we must talk about these stadiums to say, this is what we have, and then how are we going to utilize these stadiums? But the other thing is that we were informed that the Development Bank of Southern Africa has got the bidding documents from different host cities. That they are busy working on them, and because the different host cities were showing how they are going to utilize the stadium beyond the 2010 World Cup. And we are going to interact with that. The Safa House, that is a point of discussion today, and the F&B Stadium, the discovery of that land was not made by anybody else. The discovery of the land at the Safa House, that is a public works land, and the discovery of the land where the stadium is a public works land, and that the government is a shareholder of that stadium at the time when it was an F&B stadium. It was discovered by us. It's us who went to go and check facts and got facts and presented them here. And the South African Football Association had an egg on their face because we're presenting facts. So today, other people are running stories about the Safa House as if they know better what is happening there. They don't know what is happening there. And then they don't know what an agreement that we made there. But also the issue of contractual. We have asked the minister, DG, that we want to see that these contracts for all host cities, particularly stadiums where government has put the public money in, what is the kind of a contract is that one? What does that contract say? Because our view in the portfolio committee was that if the government puts money for the stadium, the government must have a final say on that stadium. And if the stadium is given to the host city municipality, the city of Johannesburg cannot have an absolute override on that, because that money is the money that has been it's us. The DG came to us and requested that the portfolio committee, yay, is the budget. I am requesting that you authorize this budget, and then we authorize the budget that the DG presented to us, and therefore it was the money that was been appropriated for sports and recreation, and therefore that money, sports and recreation, must have a final saying, especially when things are not going right at that stadium. That is the kind of a contract that we're looking at. But we have not received that contract. Would love, DG, that the Honorable Minister provide us with copies of those contracts, because we want to check the contractual obligation, contractual relation of the private stadium and the public money, and the stadiums that have been built, and then what is the relationship of government and those stadiums? Who has a final word? Who says what and all those things? But this meeting is very important, DG, so that at least we are able to send a better message, positive message, that these stadiums are not going to be white elephants. Because what you read that these stadiums are going to be, it's something that we are not happy of. Because we have gone throughout the world, in Korea, in Japan, and everywhere, where stadiums were demolished after the World Cup. And then they said that experience is not going to happen with us. And it must not happen to South Africa. So that meeting is very important. The other meeting, DG, on the 31st, it's also a meeting around the Gauteng Cricket Board and the National Cricket Board, the UCB and Gauteng Cricket Board. And then on the coup that was staged by those people, I've seen after they realize that we want to meet them, and then after we call them and say that they must go back, we don't want the committee that has staged a coup. We want an original committee to come here so that we interact with them. And then I can see now that the president of cricket, Nyoka, is interacting with them. But that is not making us not to interact with these people. It's not. Because that Gauteng Cricket Union cannot be powerful and even undermine its national organization. It can't be. Whether it's rich or not rich, we don't care. But it must be subjected to how other unions are responding to their national federation. And Gauteng Cricket Union must be like that. I got a letter from Comrade Iso Pahad, who was a member there. Very shocking letter of a rampant racism that is going on there in that cricket union. Lazarus Zim, very reputable member of this country, sent me a very shocking letter of what is happening in that cricket thing. A tribalist approach that is existing there. If you're an Afrikaner and a Jew and a what, and therefore it's hell in that cricket union. It can't be correct. It will never be right. So we're going to interact with that cricket union there. From there, it will be the report of the drug free and the report of the department, the annual report. We're starting to do those. Is it annual report or quarterly report? Annual report. And then from there we'll adopt those minutes of the reports, and the report is sent to the National Assembly either for debate for the National Assembly to adopt that, and then it will be the end of that term, and then we're going home and come back now with a new term. Maybe Mackenzie will be the president of the Congress of the People at that time. Farid is going to make copies for all of you, because I've seen it distributed. The one that is not a refined version, he's given us what we have adopted initially, where we say, Che, let us adopt a principle program, a working program, but it must have dates. But within those dates, if there are other things that we want to put in there, the dates must open up that gap and put those things in there. Yes, Comrade Cora.
Yeah, I just want to make an addition to the meeting of the 17th. Is it the 17th?
Yes.
Where the OCCs are coming.
Yes.
I think it would be proper to have SAPA in that meeting and the Rugby Federation.
Yeah.
So that we can
comply. They're here. We've put the both the National Federation, Rugby, and football, because we want the stadium to be used by rugby and football, and then effectively and freely, so that they must be effective there. We don't say they must not pay the 10% of ground tax for the water, electricity, and the management and all that. We don't say they must not do that. But we're saying rugby and football must be allowed this similar opportunity in using those stadiums. So the two national federations, we're going to invite them in that meeting. So it is their corner, but we want Pori to do it, because he might likely outsource it to somebody. Yes, again?
Chairperson, just an idea that maybe SA Cricket be there as well, because I noticed that they are starting to use some of the new stadiums in different formats of the game, so I think that might be a good idea to have them there.
SA?
SA Cricket.
Okay. SA Cricket, SA Rugby, and then SA Football. Yeah. Athletics, yes. Athletics, yes. AFA. And athletics, DG. Thank you very much. I think those are the federations that usually using stadiums. So if there are others, please, we shall have created a platform that everybody should be part of that if we have missed somebody. For the committee resolved that Cricket South Africa must be invited in that meeting, because they're using the stadiums also. On the 17th, Rugby National Federation must be invited in that meeting. National Federation, and then South African Football Association must be invited there, and Athletic South Africa must be invited in that meeting as a national federation, not the interim committee. I don't know whether there's leadership there, DG. There's a crisis of leadership there. Yeah, but send them in any event. But you must tell them we don't want interim leaders. They're not leaders. Eh? It's an interim leadership call. They're there by default. We don't talk to interim leaders. We talk to elected representatives. So we're not going to talk to them anyway. But you must send that to them. But the DG is aware that they're unclear that we're not talking to interim leaders. Talking to authentic, legitimate, credible members elected in a conference. Is there anything that, so we're adopting the program SCPs on a member. Honorable Mackenzie?
Chairperson, I move that we adopt the program as set out in the document before us.
Thank you. Cora?
Let me support the COOP once. Supporting.
There's a marriage looming between the Congress of the People. The Congress of the People and there's marriage looming between the Congress of the People and the African National Congress.
You know, they're becoming home, you know.
Okay, fine. I don't know what happened to Matua. Maybe Matua is now the DA member now. We want to check whether he's now a renowned DA member now. Hey. Thank you, Honourable. Comrade from the year is here, DG. We will, Honourable Members, after the DG presented in the this met, I want members to remain so that we must adopt the minutes. The minutes are very important for the IT in Parliament and for reference. Because if we don't do that, these minutes are not of any standing. Anything that happens to the minutes, Parliament says those were not minutes of Parliament because they were not adopted by the Portfolio Committee. So you might have a very serious problem. The Person Saga. So Cora knows we had such a similar case here where another member was contempt of Parliament. Now we wanted to send that member in prison quickly. For contempt of Parliament. At the technology DG there, when we were finalizing that, the wife was sick, the high blood pressure was up and all that, and they were saying, Chair, please, man, can you not take this man to jail? I said, that this man must be an example of contempt of Parliament. And when we were about to pronounce, the lawyers were here for a Parliament to evoke the section, and this man must be punished. And then we check the minutes. The minutes that this case was around on were the minutes of the PMG. And now, in terms of rules of Parliament, minutes of the PMG are not minutes of the Portfolio Committee because we don't adopt minutes of the PMG. PMG is an NGO that makes information to be available to people outside there. But had we adopted those minutes, we could have made history of sending somebody to jail for contempt of Parliament. So we could not make that because we didn't adopt those minutes. So from that time, we're very careful in adopting minutes because if we want to nail you, Mackenzie, we must nail you on the legitimate Parliament document and say, we have adopted these minutes. This is a reflection of those minutes. So.
You want me to move to your person that we adopted
now? No. I want us to move immediately when the DG is over with the presentation of school sport. And then we must move on. DG, like I said, the issue of the school sport, President Zuma spoke about it many times. But DG, last week when we were having a meeting with the South African Football Association, it emerged out of that meeting, DG, that there are schools, Comrade Randa, there are schools in this country. I don't know in terms of education, what are you going to do about it? But in terms of sports, if we had a jurisdiction over school, and that matter was going to completely handled and finished immediately in a month's time. Now, as schools are saying, Comrade
London. Other schools are saying, no, we are not playing football. Our school code is sports. It's rugby. Other schools are saying, no. We're not doing rugby. Our code is football. But it can't be like that at school level. It cannot be like that, Comrade Randall, at school level. At school level, children must be able to express themselves in any other form of a sport that they want. If they want to be athletes and run, school cannot say, we don't want people to run. We want karate. And the others say, we don't want people, karate, we want the boxers. It can't be like that. And at school, I think it's where we are rekindling the talent, the interest, the excitement of what the sport is all about at school. And we at the Portfolio Committee and the Department of Sport, we are determined to make everything possible to be in partnership with the Department of Sport for school sports to begin to grow and begin to be a popular thing, because it's us in sport who are going to be the beneficiary of that level of excitement and what happens at school level. So we had the first presentation last time, which was a very good presentation, I can say, both the Department of Education and our department. And we said to them, please go back and refine this document and try to show us what is the agreement that you have reached. That is, time and again, will remind people that, no, we have an agreement with you, so you cannot renegade it. And then today we said, no, we want a almost final briefing, out of brief briefing today, DG. We are expecting DG, the people that are working in sports there, to produce, Comrade Randall, a document like this that is going to show us the program of school sports, like the one that the minister has given us the last time. There was a program that says on Wednesdays, all schools are going to have these school sports and this and this and this, so that at any time when you want to do an oversight as a committee, say, we are going to the Western Cape. It is said, in this region, there will be these things this month, and then we go there and go check whether there's school sport going on there. And then anywhere in the country where we feel that we must go and check school sport, and then we must go and check school sport. We'll not check the curriculum, the OBE, Randall, we'll only check whether kids are playing at school, and then whether there are enough equipment there, and whether the children that are playing interprovincial tournament, is the Department of Sports paying for them? Because we have an understanding that when children are playing the interprovincial tournament, DG pay the cost. If it is in their own provinces, playing around the provinces, it is not us, the Department of Sports, who have to do that. If it's international game, and then the Department of Sports participate there. National game, the Department of Sports participate there. But the Department of Sports has a program. It must not be national games every day up until funds are depleted. It must be a very structured program that in a year's time, we're going to have a tournament from all provinces twice a year or once a year. And then if it is once a year, it will be for football. If it is another once a year, it will be for rugby and all that. But the other thing that we have to tackle very seriously, it's us to have a focus on particular sporting codes. We can't have all 100 codes at a go. We must have a focus on certain number of codes, develop them. When they are on their own, can go out, focus on other codes again, those that are under development, and develop them. If they are ready, we go out and all that. I think that is the only way that we'll be able to have a target and a focused way of dealing with sports. Problem. So, DG, today's meeting is going to lead to us having that program. And that program is informed by the provinces, I think so. And then, unfortunately, we have not been able to interact with provinces and check what is this that they are giving to you. Because I hope, and we have an understanding that your program as the national department is informed by all other programs that are coming from different provinces, and then you make that program. If provinces are having a
school tournament in football once in a year. It means that will be a culmination of both to region and to provincial tournament, and that province is going to produce a team that is going to play with other provinces in that national tournament. And then that is the kind of a thing that we think that is happening there at province, in provinces. But provinces have to feed you around what they're intending to do, and then which will culminate up to them. But the other thing is that there are people who are coming here who are members of the USAF. If we ask those people a favor and say, can you draw us a program as a portfolio committee? How would you like the school sport look like? What should be the program for school sport? In a week's time, they produce a full program and say, there's winter school, there's summer tournament, there's this tournament, and this and this and this. And those members were, those members that were dissolved in terms of the act of USAF, but that resource is still there. That resource is still there, DG. And that it's a resource that Pori has to give to the DG. DG will hand it over to the officials that are dealing with it. And those people will be in a position, if you ask them to do a work for you, and say, we want to wear a particular work, and then you give them that work, they will definitely produce a program and give it to you, and then check whether it's falling in line with what you want as a department. And but the department who has such a capacity, like the one that those people have, the department won't have that kind of a capacity, definitely. But the department will be in a position to look properly into that program and interrogate it and check whether really does it benefit the department, then you give it a go ahead. That's what we are looking at in the long run. But I think those guys from staff, former staff, I think if you can give to the DG, DG must just be tied to them and all that. They will be very useful in helping the DG around the program. So I think that is the DG. Giving over to you, DG, and then the Comrade Randall is there. Maybe he's going to hear what you want to hear, or maybe he's going to make an input also. But this issue of the school sport, DG, has been running for quite a long time. I'm sure we're about to close it now. Gugu and ourselves have been on this matter for quite a long time. You know, when media is asking you about the conditions of the school sport, I'm not in a position to respond to a condition of the school sport and whether there is a school sport, effective school sport going on. Unless I see the Craven Week, the Baker's Biscuits, and all those other things. But a very concerted school sport, I have not seen it. And the signage of school sport to the under 12, under 18, under 20, under 23 in the South African Football Association, it's important they've got sponsors there teaching. But they're saying those kids are kids that are at school. They're under 12. They're at school. But outside, they play into our league of the under 12. But we say, but this league cannot just be a league that is between you and other people. It must be a league that is at school level. How about giving the league of the under 12 to schools? Schools must run that, and then must assist them. The other thing that they said to us, Comrade Randall, there are 4,900 and something level 2 coaches in football. 4,900. It means each and every school can have a coach. 4,900. They said that here is our data, and then here are the names, and then we have these people who have trained them. We have trained them from level 1 and level 2. Level 3 is when you are a professional coach, Clive Barker, and all other, but you are at that level, and therefore, if there is no level that the school can have, how about these people who are coming? They are prepared to volunteer. We'll meet them about their traveling. We'll meet them about other things, but they are prepared to help. 4,900. We can take each one of them in their provinces where they are to different schools. They have an impact on football. Rugby also. That is the case. Rugby, they have people that are going through what we call the skills development CETA program. There are more than 7,000 rugby people that are at level one. 7,000. And when you place them in different schools, you have 7,000 schools benefiting out of that program. And the rugby people are training these people through CETA every time and again. Those people are just loitering in the street there. There's nothing that happens to them. But those are the discussions that really need us to sit down a week, a day, and then and see how best we can do those things. But I'm just sharing this information. And Safa also, when it comes in, to tell you, we have the 4,900 TG. Where do you want us to place them in terms of provinces? Let us not put them anywhere so that they must fly over and do everything. In the Free State, we'll tell you this is the number that we have and then how many schools you want us to place them. We'll place them to those schools. In the Western Cape, this is the number that we have. We can place them to different schools, the poor schools, rural schools, and then they'll go and help there. But let us make this issue of the school sport something that is existing and that everybody admires it and that it must be working. Thank you very much, Tish. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning to you and Honorable Members, as well as the Chair of the Portfolio Committee Basic Education. Chair, perhaps before, on a more personal note, just to acknowledge the condolences that I've received from the members of the committee. When my father passed away, we buried him last week. Really good to know that whilst we fight hard when it comes to the softer issues, that it really warmed the heart to get all the messages from the Honourable Members. Chairperson, also, I think whilst we're going to be talking about school sport, this is also the first time that we are meeting immediately after the World Cup. And so it will be completely out of place for me to rush into a school sport presentation without commenting on the World Cup. And therefore to say to you and to the members of the committee that you should really be very proud of the work of this committee, the oversight that you've provided ever since I joined sport and recreation and the way that I've engaged, very meticulous way of getting people to account and making things happen. Unfortunately, success has many parents, as we all know, and failure is an orphan. And so if the media and some others are to be believed, FIFA organized this event with the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm very Christian myself, and I know the Holy Spirit works through people. So to this portfolio committee, I think you should indeed feel very proud. I thought, Jay, I don't know if Seth Blatter and Jerome Balk wrote to you, but they sent the letter, and I thought, even though I may be the recipient of the letter, it's really all the structures that's been quite key in playing their different roles. And perhaps if you would allow me just to share the letter that he's written, said Zurich on the 23rd of July, and he says it gives us immense pleasure to congratulate you on the success of the 2010 FIFA World Cup. Your hard work, passion, and tireless commitment have been crucial in ensuring that the first FIFA World Cup on the African continent will go down as a historic event. As one of the most senior representatives of your country, you have been responsible with others for highly professional cooperation between local staff and FIFA, which has been based at all times in a spirit of friendship, respect, and fair play. You have also spared no effort in providing the necessary resources and support. What is more, we would also like to thank you most sincerely for the extraordinary hospitality. We are sure that the FIFA World Cup will provide a trigger for long-term and sustained social, cultural, and educational development, and that the power of our game will have a positive impact on our society, and so on and so on and so on. I'm reading it because I think it's not often that we get the thanks coming back to us. And as I've said, I've just received it on behalf of many people who have played a crucial role, as well as this committee. I think we should really, really feel proud the fact that we have, from this committee, voted for the stadia development grants we had to provide for the oversight to ensure the delivery of those stadiums and of course to now be responsible to make sure that as stakeholders that these facilities are used optimally is understood. More than that, the other areas where this committee voted for funds, whether it's the training of volunteers, those thousands of volunteers, it was good to see them coming out and performing their role, the training, the preparations, and also the way in which we have supported them to be attired. Two areas such as the organizational grant that we have provided to enable the host cities to provide for this event, the beautification of our cities and so on. But most importantly, to make sure that South Africans have had access to the World Cup by virtue of the battery fund on tickets and pushing FIFA to keep tickets and reserve that for South Africans at a very low price. Unheard of in any World Cup. And so this last month I had to pay them the 40 million that this committee voted as a ticket refund. So I think just from that point of view, the resources put into it and what this committee enabled us to do, it's all appreciated and acknowledged. Chairperson, on the area of school sport, correctly you've pointed out that we have been here with you, we've been talking about this issue over and over. More recently, on the 4th of May, we were here, where we spoke to this committee about progress, where we shared ideas with you in respect of what we're doing with the Department of Basic Education, the what's contained in the policy proposals, and as well as the structural arrangements that we're putting in place to give effect to revitalizing school sport. It's just been, I'm tempted to say, if we exclude the months of June and half of July because of the World Cup, it's not long since we've been here to you to talk about that phase. My understanding is that we left here with a clear understanding that these policies will now be put to the relevant structures, the joint MINMEX, as well as cabinet, and then obviously whilst we assume that it will go through those processes to begin a process of developing sector-specific strategies to give effect to that. Part of what you've referred to is the need for the predictable program. I think that's but one element of it. Other parts of it is really for sport and recreation to really lift out its specific strategy that speaks to the policy framework, similarly with basic education and other stakeholders. Firstly, I think we will lose a real opportunity if we don't use, you know, the hype of the World Cup to propel school sport forward in many different ways. And I think certainly it's good that you're engaging with SAFA about their role in terms of the money that they may have, the resources to make sure that development happens and school sport being a very important site of such development. Similarly, we need to engage with the other federations really to make sure that we use this renewed interest in sport amongst our young people. From the side of the Department of Sport, one of the immediate instructions following the World Cup that we've given was to say we want the relevant community sport and mobilization people to come up with a post-2020 mobilization effort to take some of these newfound heroes in not only in football but also in athletics, the Kgotso Mokoena's, our own Golden Girl, as well as the Shabalala's and all these people, to take them to our schools and for them to begin to experience and get close to these athletes, but more importantly for these athletes to begin to motivate and create hunger amongst our school children to become active and to excel in the field of sport. So we are busy putting the final touches to a concept document and working with SAFA and AFA in particular, to launch that campaign during the month of August. And really, the one challenge is for us to keep that momentum going. Of course, Chairperson, around the World Cup, there are other things that we need to do that this committee should be aware of. Of course, we're busy now preparing the final reports to speak to what it is that we have done right and what it is we've not done so well, and to really capture that. And so there's some work being done in that respect. What is important, Chair, and I should comment on the real positive way in which South Africans came together, and we saw really the power of sport to unite our people and to build social cohesion. Now, I don't want us to talk in general terms about that. And so what we've been doing, and we've been working now for a number of weeks with the Human Sciences Research Council, to really begin to look at this thing for us more scientifically, the role of sport and these mega events in respect of nation building and social cohesion. They have completed a first scoping exercise where they tried to summarize for us what the scope should be of such research, and they will be starting soon to interview different people in focus group discussions, really for us to capture that story properly. Because ultimately this legacy of the World Cup is not only about stadiums, it's also about the people. And so we really want the people legacy to be captured. So, Chairperson, the other story that we must tell is not only about what the World Cup meant for football, but overall the legacy for sport, and so we're also working on telling that story. But I'm really just using this opportunity to tie up between a big event that just happened and the first time that I'm appearing before this committee. From the perspective of school sport, Chairperson, I've said it's a short time since we've been here, and there's been quite a bit of work happening between the 4th of May session and today to begin to give effect to some of those things that we've highlighted that need that should happen. I've already said that we are busy working and concluding our own sport and recreation school sport strategy to speak specifically to the policy from a sport and recreation point of view, and Ms. Naidi, the director of school sport, will give you more detail about that. Obviously, Chairperson, to go beyond that, we need to make sure that schools, that sport and recreation, the provinces, the Department of Basic Education, and other critical partners, whether it's the Federation, SASCOC, and NGOs operating in the field of school sport, be that USASA or the former USASA, or be that the Sports Trust, for us to begin to collectively now look towards that integrated plan towards 2014. Members here may recall that in terms of the president's outcome approaches, school sport, or rather not school sport, but basic education is outcome number one, where the president really wants to see a turnaround. Now, we can't simply look at basic education outcomes without looking at school sport being part of the deliverable on that outcome. And so I would like to see that we do come together and develop that integrated school sport plan for 2014. Already, you may be aware that UK Sport specifically is quite keen to help us, because they've been quite successful in terms of turning around school sport and revitalizing that in the UK, and they're very keen to work with us and to provide the expertise of the UK Sport Trust to help us to achieve this objective. There are other partners who have also really expressed a strong interest to help us in this result. We've met during the World Cup on a number of occasions with highly placed ministers from Germany, the German Minister for Development Cooperation, who said to us that given the successful partnership that we've had during the World Cup, and just to refresh your memory, the German people have given us large sums of money for the World Cup 2010 legacy, for the youth development through sport and youth prevention through sport initiatives, the development of combi courts, the development of young people participating in life skill development through sport. And also, I hope some of you may have experienced the Kinako International Village that we have had during the World Cup together with our German partners. So there's a huge interest on the side of Germany to continue this relationship. And so they've said to us that in the field of school sport, the German government is really keen to help us, and they're waiting for a proposal. So UK Sport, the German Development Cooperation and their funding agency, GTZ, we've also said to you previously that we were looking at, in the absence of an independent organization to facilitate the development of school sport, similar to the Sport Trust in the UK, specializing in that area, we have had discussions with our own Sport Trust. And you will remember, Chair, that they're really hands-on. We've had discussions with them and said, we really want to partner you to help poorer schools to access resources in order to make sure that we can make school sport happen. We've had that discussion with our own Sport Trust, and they're very keen to make a major thrust of their work this focus on school sport. Chairperson, in the meantime, we've also taken forward this debate of looking at the resources around school sport or the lack of it. Two very important engagements that have happened since our last meeting in May. The first one was with Lotto, and particularly the Sport and Recreation Distribution Agency part of the lottery. And there we've agreed on three things with the Lotto, and it's already beginning to be implemented. The first thing we agreed with them on is that they will use NGO or other type organizations to begin to partner with poorer schools who, for one reason or the other, cannot access Lotto fundings, either because they don't have fully meet all the requirements and they lack the experience. You may recall that for you to be considered for funding from the Lotto Distribution Agency, you needed to have had an audited financial report for a number of years. Now, most poor schools don't spend their money on that. And so what we have said, if we have a credible organization with that kind of track record, there's no reason why they cannot act on behalf of that school and to make sure that we then begin to develop and provide particularly poorer schools with those resources. Now, we've had that agreement with Lotto, and they've adjusted the rules to make it possible for intermediary organizations to access funds on behalf of poorer schools, build the capacity and transference in order to make sure that the flow of funds move to those rural and previously disadvantaged schools. The second area of agreement that we've had with them is the notion of this clustering approach, where we are saying, let us begin to cluster schools. We've already done so through our mass participation program. What we wanted to see is resourcing those schools that appears to be, or rather that should be, at the core of such a cluster. Give them the resources, give them the support to make sure that they become a resource for a number of schools around them. And so that's the second area of agreement that we've had with them. And the third area, which is also very important, you will know that in the past we've always struggled with tournaments, whether it's provincial tournaments and national tournaments, because of a lack of funds. We had to either reduce the number of tournaments or the number of codes participating, or we had to restrict the age groups because of those funding constraints. And what we have said to Lotto is we really don't want only the limited resources of sport and recreation to be used to make sure that those tournaments happen. We want federations to begin to access funds for provincial, national, and international tournaments through the federations. So for the first time, that possibility is also there. So really laying the foundation from a resourcing point of view for all these ideas that we have developed around school sports to begin to take shape. So, Chairperson, the second area where we've had some engagement and where we will continue to really drill down to understand all the dynamics, once we have clarified through the policy the roles and responsibilities, once we've articulated the plan for 2014 for school sport, we want to make sure that resources should not be the issue. And so we don't want to start talking and asking Treasury for money in the forthcoming financial year, but we're saying to Treasury, look to this in terms of a long-range funding plan. So we've started those engagements with Treasury, and at my insistence, Treasury called together the Department of Basic Education and the Department of Sport in order to begin to engage in unpacking of what's in all the budgets in the provinces, in the two departments for school sport, and to begin to translate that into outputs for the different sectors and to begin to see at the gaps, look at the gaps and the implications for funding going forward. So that groundwork is beginning to happen. But that those things, just by means of introduction, it is a short space of time since we've been here, and in that sense, you may find that our reporting is still a bit repetitive. But let me ask the Director of School Sport just to highlight some of the work in progress to you, Chair, with your permission.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, colleagues, and once again, thank you for having us over at School Sport. I think inviting us so close to May again, it just, in a sense, for us confirms the commitment of Portfolio Committee to School Sport and that we can count on support to continue with this. As DG had indicated, in the 4th of May to now, and noting the school term, has been a shorter period, but I think there has been significant and strategic discussions that have taken place in the time to take the process forward. Just, I want to ask the committee, is it okay if we sit here and you've got the presentation before you instead of using it out there? Is that okay?
Yeah, members are having their slides with them.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay, thank you. In terms of the policy itself, the draft policy that was tabled at Portfolio Committee on the 4th of May, the policy has subsequently been tabled at the different structures within Department of Education and Department of Sport. And where the policy is at this point in time is it is with the Minister of Department of Basic Education. There is the necessary documentation has been completed by Department of Education to send this out for public comment. And they are now in the process of sending it over to our Minister of Education for his signature endorsement before this happens. So that is where the draft policy is at the moment. Noting the processes that go on with the draft policy.
I don't want to come back on this one. I just want to understand. When you said the Minister of Basic Education has put this thing for a public comment, what do you mean?
The Minister of Basic Education has drafted a letter, and that has to go to our minister for him to sign it, to endorse it, and then the document will have to come to Parliament. That was the process that I've been informed of by the Department of Basic Education.
Okay. And that process is going to say to federation that has an interest in school sport, interact with this draft document, address it, and then give us your comment, and then we'll see what you do. Now, I just wanted to check because it's important that that process should happen because it's going to inform you on the views of these other people. But if you miss it there and then it comes to us here, we will be in a position to meet with National Federation and say, here is an input from two sister departments. Can we engage on this document and give us information so that when we give our report will be having the input that comes from those different people, if they miss it at any stage, I think it's okay.
Chair, if I can conclude on that issue, the document has been shared with all federations. Through SASCOF and our own meetings, we've done face-to-face meetings with federations. So the document has been shared, we've received comments, and we're putting it out for them again to receive further comments from them, further to interaction. Noting that the draft policy as it is, still has to go through a process. We have begun another process, we said a parallel process, to prepare the ground for the implementation of the policy. And Department of Education in May began a further set of discussions, and at this time with the school sport code structures, our provincial structures, as well as federations. We've also attempted over those 3 days to bring these different groupings together. And the focus of the discussion was to look at, one, this year 2010-11 program, noting again budgetary issues, and to look at what is it that we can put out without going through the issues of cancellations, non-delivery, etc. And if we also used this opportunity now to look at all sectors consolidating programs. As DG has indicated, I think it is not an issue of budgetary constraints or no funding. It's the issue of looking at where is the money, consolidating money for impact, and also to avoid all the double dipping that has been going on in many of our code tournaments. And I think we've spoken about that previously, where a federation will have an age group tournament, the school sport code people are having the same tournaments, we are funding it, and in the end there's not enough money. So we looked at, from the local level, from the leagues, to begin the league structures again, to revitalize them and take it up to competitive. Also at the same time working across with our talent identification scientific support groupings as well. The chair today had made reference to USASA and the number of people there with the skills that we could use. Chair, those people have been invited to our meetings. They are working, and we've instructed, and the meetings have agreed that they work jointly with federations now in developing for us a joint consolidated plan for schools, starting from leagues. And the three areas of focus on that would be skills development, beginning a league structure, as well as talent identification and support. So those programs, at the moment, we are receiving them. We are now assessing those, and both federations and these school groupings have agreed, with whatever funding we have, and we can support them to say, this is the funding. Our focus at the moment, of course, as a national department, would be funding national tournaments, but we've downscaled. We're looking at downsizing those tournaments and not making them mass participation events. Focus for now is launching leagues and looking at a talent identification process from there and supporting it. So I think the success for us in this, that we've got both groupings, federations and the people that have the skills, to sit jointly and work together to present these to us. We've also agreed that through the collaboration process and post-USASA, you know, many of the USASA leadership in the different codes, people that were involved in the codes, you know, in a sense were almost self left out. And in the collaboration agreement, structures were created. But the support wasn't there, I think, in terms of funding to support those committees and those groups. And I don't think it was because of individuals that they may not have had general elections or, you know, gone out and done further work. We're looking now at supporting those people, acknowledging what people had done. And those people are very, very much part and integral to this whole process in going forth. I don't see some of them here today, but we'd actually work jointly in doing this presentation and their presentation. So we are working together at the moment, and I think that we're fully on with that at the moment. We've also agreed that in the interim, while school sports structures are being formed, I'm looking at the page where we start with decisions, that the code groupings, as well as the federations, have agreed that we will enter into service level agreements with federations on behalf of our school code structures, because that is where we could transfer money, right? To enable us to do transfer payments to federations who would support these code structures now in hosting national events. And when we speak of national events now, we speak of events that have started from schools right up to nationally, so that we can begin to track it, monitor it, develop that, and the whole issue of databasing again. And I think in terms of the, you mentioned football, for example, we did meet with SAFA, and we met with SASFA. So we've met already with all 15 codes. The one federation still to do is rugby. That's the one we've got to complete. And even with SAFA, you know, Mr. Mazbuko had and he shared his report with us. With SAFA, and since football has been on the table here for discussion, the focus at the moment is looking at the age group tournaments, what are the sponsored tournaments, and an area where we as department maybe need to support, and that is girls football. Girls football and football looking disability. Those are two areas we agreed that we need to now focus on, because there is sufficient funding going to other aspects of it. But once again with SAFA and SASFA, the issue is not to double dip, to consolidate all work and to look at, you've indicated, 4,000 plus coaches. How could we use these coaches? I don't think it's a coincidence, but in every federation that we meet, the coaches that they have trained, the majority of them are teachers, because it's teachers that act very, very active in sport, even at community level. And we are working at the moment to look at a plan on how can we work with these coaches within communities through the cluster groups that DG has mentioned. On the issue of the cluster groups, we've got through the mass participation program, we are working in about 3,200 schools. We've got cluster coordinators in place, and we've got sports assistants. We are currently reviewing that blueprint for the school sports mass participation. If we have 29,000 schools in the country, we are looking at, can we form 2,000 clusters in the country? We have engaged also with Love Life, who also has cluster coordinators in the country. They've got 1,800 who they call groundbreakers. These are facilitators that are placed throughout the country. And Love Life is working from wards upwards. So if we consolidate, once again, the issue I think here is consolidation, and work to synergize and streamline what we do effectively, we would be able to, over the next 3 years, we believe, launch these 2,000 clusters that we are talking about. And the clusters would work in support with the school sports structures that are currently being launched. If we go into, since I mentioned school sports structures, and it's looking further down on our presentation, there is a document there headed school sports structures. A report on the school sports structures. Free State, Western Cape, and Limpopo have launched their sports structures from local up to provincial level, and those structures are all now currently functioning. Eastern Cape has not set up its umbrella structure yet. It's got its local and district structures, and their structures are aligned to education structures. In fact, all the provinces so far have aligned their structures to the education district from the local level. KZN, there is a problem in KZN in terms of, that's the one problem province that is experiencing problems between Department of Education and Department of Sport. And the MEC there has requested a bilateral with the KZN in Department of Basic Education.
The MEC that I know has been approved all the time.
For the
school sport. The education, the MEC for education and the MEC for sport, that's fine. We're not coming together. And up until today, that thing still continues.
That is the one province where there are no plans afoot yet. Those discussions still have to take place. Department of Sport has met with the local federations there, presenting information to them. But this bilateral needs to take place to get Department of Sport to come to the table to begin to plan for the launch of school sports structures there. Northern Cape and Northwest Province have set up discussions with federations to facilitate the process of establishing structures. Northern Cape, interestingly enough, has a really good proposal that they've developed. And here, this is a good example of, they are looking at the funds that they have available to restructure. They are not asking for new money. And they are attempting to create structures that would serve both schools as well as community. Gauteng, they have set up structures, but they are in the process now of aligning those structures in terms of the draft school sports policy and the proposals that have been put in place. But their structures in Gauteng at the local level are in operation because they are supporting them in the coordination of school sports there. Mpumalanga has set up 67 circuit structures and is in the process of developing a constitution for their school sport structure, but they've not set up their provincial structure yet. They are currently working on that. At this point in time, we are putting together a diary or a program to do the monitoring visits to all the provinces to validate their reports and also to look at aligning the processes around the country. On the issue of the funding, DG has discussed, I think, and I think he's covered our interventions at SRSA with regard to Lotto. On the issue of Lotto and Sports Trust, we are working with Sports Trust to put together a program focusing on facilities and equipment with a special focus on Section 20 schools, schools that are ranked quintile one, and those very, very disadvantaged schools. We are looking at using the model of our school sports mass participation program, where we are working in clusters there, and these are very disadvantaged areas, and to look at what facilities can we look at in terms of groupings, cluster groupings, where schools can begin to share facilities as well. On the issue of Treasury and the request there as well, as DG had pointed out, it's not a request for new money, but for us to get a sense of all the funds within the country at national level, at provincial level. As SRSA, we constantly have been putting down exactly what the rands and cents are that we have in school sport. I think if somebody asks me that in my sleep, I can tell you what I've got there as well. With the provinces, and in terms of the grant money, we are also quite clear. We know exactly what we have there, and we can account for that spending. But when it comes to voted funds in the provinces, both the Department of Education, Department of Sport, as well as the National Department of Sport, I mean, sorry, Department of Education, that is where we need to, we are analyzing at the moment, to be able to say this is the pot of money we have in the country for school sport, and this is how we can meet our strategic objectives in school sport. So we've never had that exercise done before where everybody has come to the table and said, this is what we've got. But to follow on that, it is not just with the government structures in terms of that. We have had meetings with different NGOs. It's Love Life who we fund. It's looking at business as well. Yesterday I had a meeting that was initiated for us by DG with Mr. Price, who's doing a program with education called Red Caps, doing a pilot program in PE, also doing development work in sport, but business that is investing in sport, now noting that we have some structure, is keen to come to the table with us now to be able to invest in our activity and events. So that for us is the next step. As soon as this is put off the ground and we have this clear strategy in place, we are able to present this to business who are now willing to come to the party. So there is, I think there is sufficient money within the country. It's how we make this money work for us. And that is what our operational strategy is about. I think I've more or less covered all the issues that we needed to raise today. In terms of the one issue that the chair had raised around the predictable calendar of events, we will have that calendar of events ready for you before the end of August. As we said, we've received all the proposals from the federation. We've asked them to consolidate this with the federation's calendar, so we will now have one calendar for 2010-11, and then we will be able to also produce the calendar up to 2012 for you now, looking at 2014. So that work we'll have ready for you before the end of August. Thank you.
See, this is I'm coming to you, Comrade Brenda. This is what DG. It's getting refined now. As you can see, this is what we wanted, because we cannot miss this issue of readiness of the people for the World Cup mood. We don't build development out of that. We can't. Let's exploit it and build development so that we have a better way of dealing with this. Comrade Zandel, I'm going to give to you before I give over to members to ask questions. Can you switch off your mic, ma'am? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just allow me right at the outset to just submit the apology for the Director General of Basic Education. There was a miscommunication. It was only established this morning that the DG had to be in this meeting, and he then asked me to come to this meeting and just give his apologies. And I've spoken to the secretary of the committee so that we can smooth out those kinds of problems. But just one or two comments from my side, Chair. First of all, Chair, thank you very much. It's very inspiring sitting in this meeting, listening to your opening remarks. You've become a legend in this country as a person who do not mince your words when it comes to education. And just sitting here and listening to you quite clearly, that came to me. And the passion of your other members, Mr. Cedric Frolic, Mr. Cora de Gachwi, and of course from the opposition, Mr. Japi van der Linde and others, we're really inspired by the passion of your committee members towards sport. Chair, my own experience with this matter, also through my past involvement in Parliament, is that this issue of school sport is used as for a long time been a hot potato that has been passed between the Department of Sport and Recreation and the Department of Education. And I think that the DG and the director did great justice to the report that they've given. Quite clearly, there is much improved cooperation. It's much better than in the past. And as far as the draft policy, which is with the Minister of Basic Education, we will ensure from our side that that matter is expedited and that the document that must go out for public comment goes out soon as a joint agreed document between the Minister of Basic Education and the Minister of Sport. I think quite clearly from the report, quite a lot of work has been done, as the report indicates. We were concerned about the note about the problem in KZN, but you yourself have indicated where those problems stem from. But I think that the Director General and the Director did great justice in presenting this report to you, and I'm here to just take back to the Department of Basic Education any of the matters that needs further improvement and expedition. Thank you very much, Chair President.
Comrade Grandel, thank you very much. And on behalf of members of the committee, we only got Comrade Grandel. People are saying well done. DG department and any other person not. Maybe it's because we deal with these things frankly, openly, without a fear. That's why probably you will get somebody like the DG and yourself who doesn't have an invested interest to say, I think you're doing your job and all that. But it's great that members can hear themselves, that people appreciate the little job that they're doing wherever they are. Thank you very much, Comrade Cora.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I don't know, is it one bite, or can I take Suka's bite as well?
take Suka's bite.
Yeah. Chair, let me start from the remarks of the DG around the 2010. DG are talking about their finalizing the report. I hope after that report is finalized, we will have access to that report. And I hope that report will take the report of the LOCs, the report of the Ministerials Committee, and all that, so that we can have one comprehensive report, so that we can look at it and see that this is what we agree with, this is what we don't agree with. Let me come to the issue of lodgers. You see, these NGOs, which need to assist these schools who can't draw up this or deal with this documentation to access this lodger money. You know this middle person, that 10% issue, where the whole money could have gone to the school. Now come up with a different proposal. How about working out a standard template and distribute that thing to the schools where they'll understand how to complete that thing? Because that middle person, those are the 10% students. The other issue is this, the federations also, to access on behalf. I also have a problem with that one. Because if you go around, you pick up clubs who say that this federation has assisted me, and the club is not even aware that that money was paid out. So we have to look and close all these gaps. In your input, ma'am, you spoke about this structure that we set up. Twisted Western Cape and Limpopo. You know, I'd be happy if we can be given that information so that one can go around. You know, the racism which is so rife in this province, some of the schools might be left out of that. So we want to go and see who is involved, which schools, and I'm sure I know all the districts of the Western Cape. We need that information. You said that you've met with federations, and the federations has indicated to you most of the coaches which they train are teachers. You know, there are schools where there's no sports happening. You go to many African schools. I don't know where are those coaches there. And to me, these coaches we suffer have told us about that 4,900. We can make use of those coaches there. The issue of love life. I think I need more information. The issue of love life. Working with what? Doing what? And where is this was where they are working with? So let me stop there and come back again. Because I still need to speak about this MINMEC and cabinet.
Mutsu, was your hand up? Grace, was your hand up? Of Manshiva?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on the issue of school sport structure. I just want to find out if you have got a time frame. Why I'm asking this is because of the issue of KZN. There is no communication between the Department of Provincial Government and the Federation. Thank you.
Is there any other questions? You can respond to those, DG and the colleague.
Thanks, Chair. On the issue of the report, Mr. Kora, there are different reports that's being worked on for the World Cup. As you know, the Interministerial Committee itself, being chaired by the Deputy President, will report to Cabinet on the work of the various ministers of comprising the Interministerial Committee, so there is that report. The LOC is obliged in terms of their responsibility to compile an LOC report. I think the report that the terms of reference that we have for a sport and recreation department specific report is in terms of our responsibilities with respect to coordinating the 17 guarantees and also the other areas of responsibilities that impact on mobilization. In my comment on the impact on nation building and social cohesion. So we unfortunately, there are those different reports, and some of them speak to different areas of responsibility and obligation. I think they may refer to each other, but because they're operating on the same time frame, we're not talking about one consolidated report. But certainly the report of the Department of Sport and Recreation will be tabled here as a comprehensive report. On the issue of the comment by Mr. Kora on the issue of the 10% and the intermediary organizations, yes, indeed, that's why we say we want to work with credible organizations such as the Sport Trust that has an agreement with us to provide this kind of support to poorer schools. We have raised with the Lotto the issue of simplifying the applications and making sure that people understand the requirements for accessing national lottery funding. Unfortunately, it's not only about the form and applying for it. It also relates to some of the other requirements that, as I've indicated, many of the poor schools don't meet, such as appointing people to audit the annual financial statements and the number of years for when these statements are required. Often they do not comply with that minimum requirement, and we therefore need organizations that meet those requirements to take the responsibility on behalf of those schools that they're partnering with. But also for Lotto to begin to change the way in which they get people to account for money being used, and to have a system where people account afterwards for how the money was used, rather than putting it as a precondition, if you understand what I mean, so that in itself doesn't become a barrier. But we're continuing to engage them on this thing, but certainly we wouldn't want to see a situation where intermediaries tend to cream off part of the money that's meant for these poorer communities. We'll be very vigilant about that. You have correctly pointed out that it's also dangerous for us to say that federations must access funding on behalf of clubs and others. I think that certainly is not what we intend. We don't say that federations must access funds on behalf of clubs, and certainly they should not be the only avenue, because we all know that federations, in terms of their reach, don't always reach the poorest communities, and that's the problem of access. When we look at the problem of access, federations still have much to explain in that regard. What we are saying we want to do is that we want to insist that national federations take responsibility for the individual codes to make sure that school sport is developed equally as an element of what they're responsible for. And therefore, when it comes to the organization of tournaments at provincial and national level, that they take responsibility for making sure that those tournaments happen, and that we will make sure that there is a possibility of them accessing funds for Lotto to really provide for our elite athletes at provincial and national level to compete. So that's what it's on the club level. We insist that clubs and individual schools must continue to access funding individually in their own right and not through these intermediaries. Chair, I wonder if perhaps Ms. Nagu can pick up on some of the other issues.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with the colleague in terms of the coaches, and that was the issue that we raised with federations. As I said, it is just, I'm not sure if it's by coincidence, that when they name coaches, and most of the federations indicate that these coaches are teachers, but if you say 4,000 whatever coaches, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're in 4,700 schools. And this is what we need to align now in terms of if you've got a coach, where do these coaches come from, which schools are they from, and what about the other schools? Can we use these coaches in the schools as well? I think the comment is fair, and it has to be taken into consideration, and it's something we're looking at aligning as well. With the school sport structures and the time frame, they are time frames, and we had indicated by the end of this year, this financial year, structures should be set up to provincial level. And within the next financial year, we can look at national structures being set up. But all provinces have to set up structures by this financial year.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Honourable Member, the DG mentioned this problem. Where? Mackenzie, you wanted to say something? Okay. Yes.
Chairperson, just on the issue of the lotto very quickly, just 2 points I want to raise here. The DG, as I understand it, sits on the lottery board. They've mentioned in their report that the department's noted the high rate of rejection of school applications, and they saw it as a challenge. How does the DG reconcile its position on the board with the applications? I'm looking at a potential possible conflict of interest here. It must, you know, because you have these different applications from people within your own department or federation, whatever. I just want to see how you can reconcile with that, because it is an issue, and there seems to be a huge rejection of these applications. The second thing I wanted to ask was from the Department of Basic Education. And maybe I've been amiss in the budget process, but has the Department of Basic Education allowed any extra funding for coaches at schools? Because if they're going to give time off Wednesday or whatever for school sport, it would be nice to know that these schools did have teachers who are either qualified and not just rely on coaches that are coming from Department of Sport and Recreation or other independent areas. Is the Department of Basic Education actually investing in school sport in conjunction with this program? Thank you.
DG, or you, ma'am?
I think on the first question that's been asked so directly, thank you, Honourable Mackenzie. I think you should drive that point much stronger. I've been worried about the fact that I should on the lottery distribution agency, not from the angle that he's raised it, but just because of how demanding it is for me as an accounting officer in terms of the time required. Mr. Mackenzie, from the point of view of being the accounting officer of sport and recreation and our role there, I think the problem so far has been that there's never been any alignment between what's happening at the National Lottery Distribution Agency and what's happening in the department. For your information, government does not access funding from the lotto, so there can be no conflict of interest there. The funding that's being accessed through the distribution agencies or through the federations or other structures, we don't use any lottery funding. So if there's anyone who doesn't have a conflict, it should be the Department of Sport. In fact, we are insisting that there should be much greater involvement of the Department of Sport, so that we can begin to look at this lottery funding in a much more rational way. Year after year after year, hundreds of millions of rands are made available for the development of sport. And what we keep on asking is, what do we have to show for that? We need to begin to integrate better the funding that we have as government. And the lotto also happens to be public funding, that we're able to account for what it is that we are delivering against objective needs that we have determined as a country. How does it speak to a national sports plan? And when we begin to talk about the white paper and how that would feed into a sports plan, we need to understand how the lottery is part of developing and implementing that national sports plan. We need to be able to understand when we're looking at our figures of on participation levels for the different sporting codes, how we see the growth thereof and how we see structurally things happening that we are saying we want to make happen. So I don't see any contradiction there.
I'm not going to be able to say that I do know what Department of Basic Education has ring-fenced for coaches. But what I do know in terms of our discussions with Basic Education is that the funding for school sport lay with the provinces and not with the national department. But I think in terms of the coaches and schools and the league system, what we as Department of Sport is saying in terms of working through federations and the codes aligned with federations, that we clear and we accept that school sport sport is an extracurricular, a co-curricular activity. It does not fall within the curriculum academic time and instruction time. And that is causing a whole lot of problems in schools in terms of when this is done. In terms of an operational strategy, we must be able to say then a school sport because we don't reside within the curriculum. Where we can support the curriculum, outside of the curriculum, that we would like to see, and this is what clearly we are saying, at least 2 hours or 1 hour of activity as extracurricular activity per child in school. And what is it we can offer on a Saturday? Because everybody attempts to pile up the curriculum, and we know that children can only do so much. But if we look at Saturday leagues as well, not just a Friday, because transport is an issue for children after school. It's a huge issue in many schools. But if we say a Saturday league, as a department of sport, we cannot hold teachers accountable because teachers do not fall within our ambit. But we can hold our coaches, our federations, our clubs accountable. And many of the federations currently are working on Saturdays. They're running leagues on Saturdays. And if we say a Saturday league, then a governing body in a school who is responsible for the provision of sport in school, who is part of the decision-making structure of the school, can account for this and can also get parents or community volunteers to support children with the Saturday leagues. So as a department of sport, that is how we can say that the intervention that we've got in place for that.
Mandas?
Yeah, Chairperson, just in terms of the question by Honorable McKenzie, I think I've been largely covered by Ms. Naidu, but I don't have a ready response to this, but I'll undertake to just deal with this formally and then feedback an elaboration on the answer that Ms. Naidu has given to Honorable McKenzie, and I'll do it via the committee.
Yes. Just in fairness to Honorable McKenzie, I may not have responded to your request on the issue of the high rate of rejections of applications. Just to comment on that, Chairperson, briefly. Yes, that is our concern, and hence our corrective measure is to say let us partner with organizations in order to reduce the high level of rejections. And just to give you some indication of why applications are often rejected, simple things like asking for money to build very expensive facilities that the lotto only provides for basic facilities, or not meeting criteria such as the audited financial statements or lack of funding documents or basic things. But we are saying that giving them the kind of expertise, making the rules clearer, giving standardized forms for people to complete, all those things should help them to better access it in order to reduce exactly what the concern is you've expressed.
Thank you, Digi. Digi, the... Yes?
I just think my question on this love life has been answered. And when you respond to that one, can you just also indicate the school sport strategy? When will it be ready? So.
Thank you. Sorry about the love life one. Chair, I would suggest, if I'm allowed to make a suggestion here, a proposal, that Love Life be invited to present to this committee. Because Love Life has a huge program within the country. And within this year, they've also been doing lots of work in attempting to align this. We've been calling them a school sport. Our club people have been calling them. Then they're working closely with education to align their programs to ours. And we've been tracking them this year and meeting with them regularly to attempt to do this. I do accept, and I think we must all acknowledge, that there's been a problem over the last couple of years in terms of accountabilities, in terms of what work has been done, and how these programs have been run. What we have to do is, and at school sport we are saying, there's a pot of money, there are programs being run, and we can benefit from this. So that's where we are now. But I think it would be a good thing if Love Life comes in to present on what exactly they are doing and where they are. on the strategy issue, if I say this now, DJ is going to mark it down in his book because he is so waiting for it. And as I indicated to DG, I think if you can give us till the end of August, we are waiting for the proposals to come through to Federation. If we put the strategy together on our own, we're going to own it on our own, and there's no implementation. If we get the commitment of all stakeholders, and we are currently, on the 20th, 21st of August, we scheduled another meeting, Federation, School Codes, Education, ourselves again, to put all programs on the table, and by that time, we would be able to finalize this document as well. So please allow us that. Thank you.
Chairperson, yes, thanks. On the issue of Love Life, I think what this committee should feel good about is that Love Life is really grappling with the question that we posed to them during our last engagement. And that is, you know, we're giving you money from the budget of sport and recreation. You cannot go out there and operate on yourself without aligning and undermining the work of sport and recreation. So, indeed, it's good to know that the work is happening, the grappling is taking place, but I think let them come and account themselves to the committee about the extent to which they've been able to achieve that alignment and integration. Of course, the kind of detail they're best able to talk about, how they structure the role the groundbreakers are doing, and how they use sport as a way of teaching life skills. What we are saying is, yes, we want to use sport in the fight against HIV and AIDS, and as we do that, we want to use that fight against HIV and AIDS to strengthen sport. So there's a mutually beneficial kind of relationship, and we'd like them to explain the advances that they've made since our last engagement. So on the issue of the strategy, I have indicated in my introduction that I really see it as a two-phase process. I think for me as the DG of Sport and Recreation, I must take responsibility for the first instance for a coherent response of sport and recreation to the challenges of school sport. And in the second instance, for the integrated program that we would want to see. I think more and more as I'm fighting with to see, please, whilst our one should speak to an integrated strategy, don't confuse the two. We want to facilitate an integrated strategy where the other partners see us really as equal, and that we'll do away with the kind of a term for, you know, basic education, ourselves, the federation, NGOs that are part of it, and I'd really like to use to our advantage this offer of assistance coming from UK Sport and the German Development Corporation and the Sport Trust, and for us to really drive that comprehensive integrated approach. We've got all the elements there, Chairperson, but I really would want to see some broader ownership for us to move towards the implementation of that program so that when we look back in 2014, we can really say we have indeed walked a long way.
Ms. Marquez, I'm tempted not to listen, to take your point, but I think I'll take it. Because you see, people keep quiet, and then we go on. That time, like a paraffin stove, and then they get hot, and then questions are coming. That's why we're saying to members, we open up the question, and then say, you must ask everything. And then, if you have not, let us know. That's all. But I will do it today. But I'm just indicating, why are we going on this line? So that you must not sit there. By the time when you think of any other thing, then you wake up and then you ask a question. It's unfair to the chair. Very unfair. Yes, sir, Mr. McKinnon.
Thanks, Chair. I was just taking up Honourable Froelich's position as well. That's all. Chairperson, in the context of the changing curriculum in the Department of Education, where is physical education placed in the OBE 2025? And also, will physical education be aligned to this new sports document? And if so, how? And how will that, in what format will that take place? Thanks. No more questions.
Thank you. The Congress of the People. JJ.
Mr. Chair, that was part of what I wanted to ask.
Furthermore, I believe Love Life must get the money only for the part that they serve, and the sports part must be used in the same pot for the sports. I believe Love Life can do their programs if the competitions are held on a Friday or a Saturday. They can be part of it. But this ordinary sports have their tournament and Love Life their own. It's really a waste of money. I mean, I'm coming from a school, and I know it's really a waste of money. I believe also that the school sports, the assistants, there must be better training and better coordination for these people. I mean, I'm sitting, I spoke Thursday with the people in Bobbitt West, and they really sitting there and having no infrastructure, and so I'm having there in my facility or my coach facility for the past 10 years, and we are footing the bill for them. And it's not fair that there's a sports assistant and they just live there with no infrastructure and nothing at all. So it's good, the ideas of the sports assistants, but to me, I believe that with the question of Mr. McKenzie, how does school sports fit into the new curriculum? I believe teachers must get involved and that is part of the curriculum, and then it will flow from there. Previously, that was part of the training of a teacher, and you've got on at every school at least to train people to do that, and that's the lack. All those people are gone from schools, and that must come back. Thank you.
Yeah, Sergey Chair. You know, the issue of Love Life, honestly, I've never seen or in the area where you see Love Life volunteers go out helping workshops and what have you. I only see Love Life on billboards. I only hear about Love Life Friday afternoons when I open Umshabwenen, and it ends there. So this is a concern, and when Mrs. Snyder was talking that they are involved as lower as wards. But where are those wards? And really, I think when we give them also money, they must be in a position to spend. Where do we spend this money? Thank you.
Thank you. Did you? You can respond to this question.
Sorry.
Thank you. I think on the issue of Love Life, we've had this engagement before. And I don't want to say too much about it, other than it would be good to see how they have taken up this challenge that we've put to them the last time that they were before this committee, both in terms of accounting for what they do on the ground, as well as the issues of integration of their programs to advance the cause of sport and recreation in the country. On the issue of the curriculum review process, Honourable McKenzie, a very, very important question, as you know that, and I'm sure the chairperson of the committee can perhaps throw more light on it, and also ensure that we look at the issue of the review process and sports and recreation more vigorously. Because up to now, the component in basic education that we've been working with is the component largely responsible for mega events, organizing events for schools and so on. But the devil really is in what happened at the level of physical education and the curriculum for school sport. And it's an area up to now where we have not engaged thoroughly. We've just recently spoken about the need for sport and recreation to get into that debate as part of the process of the curriculum review, and to make sure that physical education happens in the way that we want to see it happen. I must confess we've not started to engage basic education on the part of the curriculum review. The DG did indicate to me that we will be called at the appropriate minute, but that discussion must happen. Yes, I don't know. Perhaps, Ms. Naidi, you want to respond to the part of the question of Mr. van der Linde?
Yeah, I think the sport assistance issue has been an issue that we've had to deal with for a long time now, and hence the need for us to review the process and why we think we should review it. As it stands, sports assistance in the school sports math participation program are on a contract. They volunteer, they're given a stipend, but they only serve 2 or 3 hours a day, and their work is really just to do coordination. Sorry. And take care of the equipment, etc. But they've been required to do more than that. In reviewing the process and putting in class the coordinators, we're saying now we need to look at training. Sorry.
Thank you, Ms. Knight. You see, DG, when it comes to love life, I do not want DG to have problems and embarrassment when we're doing the budget, because the new saga of budget is in terms of the new act, where these members of the portfolio committee have to agree on the elements of the budget that the DG is going to present to us. But I want the DG to put safety first, that we are not going to pass that budget as it is that includes love life. If the issue of the Kaiser Foundation and all that, let it go to social development. I'm just giving you a very humble red light that is beginning to flicker there. Because there is no, in our view, measure of the love life that you could put in place and say, when we measure love life, like any other department, this is the output that love life would put or would get out of love life. When the budget for love life is collectively together from social department, sports, health, education, all of them together, those 45,000, 35,000 and everything together, put together, they are bigger than the budget of sport. Together. Because Love Life doesn't get money only from sport. It gets money from social development, it gets money from health, it gets money from education, it gets money from everybody. And that money put together is bigger than the money that we can make an impact out there for our people in terms of facilities for schools. So I'm just saying that is going to be another struggle. I'm sure in September, August, DG will be coming, because we will be discussing now clearly what are the issues. DG, here we think that you're not working very well. Why do you need this kind of money? We cut it down and all that. The money bills has brought a major problem to the departments that think that they will just at any time just run and they get the money and whatever they want to do. So it's going to be a little bit of a problem around love life. I'm just indicating. And definitely it's going to be a problem around love life. I just give you a little bit of a red signal that is coming up there. Love life is going to create a problem for a department. Because love life is running a tournament, DG. I do not think that love life must run tournaments. Love life must come to the tournament organized by education or sport, and begin with their awareness campaign within those tournaments organized already. Not that we hear that there's a tournament of Love Life somewhere in the Free State in Kruger, that Love Life has got tournaments there. Love Life must not organize tournaments. Love Life must go to organized tournaments by schools, by federations, by others, then they go there and deal with the awareness campaign of theirs in as far as the healthy lifestyle, sports and HIV and AIDS and all that, which are correct things in my view. But for them to be able to be this little entity that stays their own sports days that are related to love, there must be sports days organized by the department, by federation. Love Life must come and say, here is our expertise, here are our banners, this is our contribution, this is what we are going to give as a talk to these athletes in as far as how the behavioral attitude and conduct should be in as far as ourselves is concerned as a Love Life. I just want to say that, and then it's not just a concern, it's a real concern that you can't have that there. But the Love Life has assumed even a very powerful parastatal faith. When you get a billboard there, that billboard is not for free there. There is huge amount of money paid for that billboard there. And then where are those buses going? To what extent are they really impacting or coming to the ground from Love Life? Those are the issues that we have to discuss with Love Life. But I'm just saying, those are the things that concerns us as a sports committee. Maybe other departments are comfortable with Love Life, but we are extremely uncomfortable with Love Life. The structures, ma'am, that you spoke about, Free State, Limpopo, and the Western Cape. Have you checked the standards of those coordination or benchmarks of how the school sports, Free State school sports, organize? What are the issues that are there? Are they similar to the three provinces or is that? Because what Comrade Cora is raising should be what informs a school sports and say, these are elements that we have forming a school sports on, what you call the Free State school sports or the Western Cape school sports. And those things should be things that are cutting across all the provinces in as far as the formation of a body called a school sports and how it's going to conduct a school sports. Because we in the Portfolio Committee on Sports, we're not going to leave the issue of school sports as it is. Or not. We will be interacting with the, vigorously with the Department of Education, but the school sports will be a base for development, a base for feeder, a base to rekindle the interest of children to be able to take diversity of a sports line that they want to take in their life. And that we're destined to do at DC with the help of the Department of because, Comrade Randall, as a member of the political party, member of the organization, we've taken a decision around human movement of physical education and at school level, where we clearly, that resolution that we've taken in Polokwane, says the physical education is going to be part of the curricula of school. For every child who must have that moment and the time for physical education to rekindle their interest and begin to make children to have a body movement. But the issue of school sport must rest with the Department of Sport in all its elements that are dealing with what we call a sport. But in as far as the human movement or physical education is concerned, Department of Sports and Recreation has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the Department of Education. I think we've taken that resolution very clear of those responsibilities and what we are raising, Mr. McKenzie, around the curricula and all that. Because when kids have arriving in the morning at school, have the 30 minutes or whatever, 45 minutes of going to the sports field, doing that physical education, you're beginning to rekindle them a certain interest, and they know every morning that there will be that kind of a physical education or whatever time. It depends on how schools wants to do it. But that physical education must not be tempered by anybody else. It must rest with the Department of Education.
That is a resolution that we have taken. And nobody, Comrade Naledi was chairing that committee which I was sitting on the social transformation. And nobody had a dissenting view around what we've taken as a decision around physical education at school level, by school, and school sports must rest with the Department of Education, with the Department of Sports, with that memorandum, that profound memorandum of understanding between the Department of Sports and the Department of Education. You remember, DG, by Comrade Suti and Gert and all that, which have never seen the light of the day. We're going to that direction, so that these things must begin to happen. We're going to that direction. So the issue of the uniformity of the structures in provinces, it's something that we would propose that DG look into it, and then check whether provinces are doing what you call uniform. You must not find a set of rules in Limpopo which are different from the Western Cape and are different from anywhere else. It should be one set of rules around what are the call of duty in as far as the formation of school sport is concerned. And that would be probably most likely in coordination or linking up with the Department of Education. I wish I must assume your character. I've been very tactful and be modest in some of the things that you are saying. I'm not that kind of a person, unfortunately. You see, DG, when you talk about the role that the United Kingdom sports and the GTZ, the German government, commit itself to our own government. I think Cora is one of those people who benefited. When we went to Korea, the accommodation for Korea, the flight for Korea, the transport for Korea, everything in Japan, Korea and Japan, was done by the Speaker of the National Assembly of both Korea and Japan. Now, I see all the department, all of you, DG, with greatest respect, being so paralyzed when people are saying, why do you have to buy tickets for people who have come to this country? We went for 8 days during the World Cup in Germany, and it was the German government that bought tickets for us to be able to go and see how the fan parks looks like, how the World Cup is organized. It was the government of Korea and Japan that has put us in a flight and accommodation and went to Korea and go to one of the stadiums in Korea right in the middle of the sea. They have no infrastructure in Korea. The stadium is in the sea. They had to drop people here and put them on the boat to go to one stadium there. They were not that infrastructure, but they staged the World Cup in 2002, and then we want to go and see those things. Yet I've seen the Department of the SADC and everybody get paralyzed when people are saying, why do you have to pay tickets for these people? You don't say, we pay tickets for these people because we are making relationship with these people. We pay tickets for these people because there are people in the squatter camp elsewhere who don't even have that gadget that you put for the television, Comrade Randa, that our premiers have taken the children from the squatter camp and take them to the World Cup. There are schools that were taken to the World Cup, and which government pays for those tickets? And everybody is paralyzed and ashamed on the attack that they have used money for the tickets. The kind of infrastructure that the SABC has put when we were there at the center. When we arrived in Santos, people in Brazil were there to come and look at the so-called high-definition power things that the SABC is able to beam, and you see a pimple on the face of the person. By the way, it was so clear.
We arrived there, the people from the United Kingdom were there to come and see this IT that the South Africa is so displaying in that place. But the value of the SABC that is put to this country around the world is far lesser than the 43 million that these people have to be subjected on by other people and say you've paid that money. We are saying, and we said it last week too, and we are going to say it in the House. We said the money that the SABC and other parastatals have paid for the ticket is far lesser than the value we in the Sports Portfolio Committee we have get out of the perception and the impression of the world in South Africa. Far lesser. You come and tell us about 50 houses that can be built out of that. The DA is making a stupid, non-political point of talking about those money can buy, can be built for the houses. I think that's very stupid. Because the value for those people and the value that the country has today surpass what has been put by you. You could not, DG, could not, it's a shame, could not call anybody from anywhere, from the countries that have built the World Cup and say, here is a VIP ticket, we are hosting you. Can you come and see whether we've managed to live up to the expectation for the World Cup? Because all of you, you're afraid of this monster of saying you've used tickets and then for people, high-powered people who have money and all that. That's not how we make relationship. It's a pity that has happened. And it must never happen again. So I'm just talking about what you are admiring from other countries around the Germany and the United Kingdom, around youth development and all that. Clearly committed to help South Africa to be what it is. And again, we deny them to see their contribution in as far as South Africa is. The presenters from the SABC were immaculate, very eloquent, giving us exactly the status of football. And the very SABC, for the first time, has done something that I admire. Taking our own children in this country who understand what football is, the gurus, their analysis was far better than the people who could not speak language there. I don't know why they're taking other people who were having some language barrier too there, when our people were so eloquent, so clear around what the World Cup is all about. And they come and accuse the people come and accuse SABC of using the money for tickets and all that. People from other countries arrive there. They're saying, for the first time, what you call the indoor public viewing has happened with the SABC in the convention center in Johannesburg. It was never. It's the first concept that has happened. We ourselves can't appreciate ourselves, and other countries appreciate what our country is doing. It's a shame. It's a shame. And ministers come and run because they're afraid the media will ask them what have they used with the ticket. The media must ask me and say that they've spent lesser than what I was expecting. I would say that. I'm not a minister, unfortunately. The Kinako village, if you have seen a number of people who went to that village in Kempton Park, on the other side of the airport, if you have seen there, it was a township on its own. People have gone there to go and see this extraordinary innovation of the Kinako village of South Africa. And people went there, and then that's what we have done as a country, and very humble for that matter. And then people appreciated those kind of things. So when you're talking about this, I think that we've seen there, going there. The issue of your nomination in the board, DG, I think I support your nomination. The ANC will support that nomination. It's correct. Because a lottery cannot sit, adjudicate on sports when the responsibility of sport rests with the Department of Sports and Recreation. And you are not able to go and influence the direction of how those resources could be directed to a sport for the benefit of sport people. They are adjudicated by people who have no interest. Their interest only is to get the 10% out of the money that they are getting for helping these people to fill the forms. I think your existence there, I'm supporting it. If probably you had a little BEE company, I would say, no, DG, don't go there. So you have nothing, and the Department of Sports has nothing, and that there is no conflict of interest there. And then I am one person who would say the ANC would support your nomination there. You're able to go strategically and intervene and direct where the resources should be for the benefit of sport. Because, DG, we have reminded the chair of lottery here. I said, Chair, by the way, let us give you a very crude reminder. The existence of lottery in this country was not for social development. The existence of lottery in this country was not for arts and culture. The existence of lottery from the late stiff trade was on basis of little funds that were budgeted by government fiscals to the Department of Sports and for the sports in this country. Hence, lottery has come into the existence. Stiff trade, the way he is standing in his grave and see his own idea being cut into pieces in this way, and sports, that has made this thing to be there because of sports. Sports benefit very little way. I think that was the intention. And then he has agreed with us. Members were there. He has agreed with us that it is true. That is the case. Because with the lottery money, people are fencing the graveyard. You go and check some of the allocation that those people are giving it. They say, 5 million rand fence for the graveyard. And yet the school, the other side of the graveyard, doesn't even have a field for the kids to play there. Doesn't have poles. Doesn't have balls and a kit, and you go and fence the graveyard. What is the work of the local municipality? What is the work of other people that are having the responsibility of the graveyard? That money was done for sports, because tomorrow our people are going to march and say they don't have facilities, and we're going to have an egg on our face. We have discussed DG with the professor, and what a great impression that he has made to us. I must accept. He even moved further and said, DG, we have moved beyond the question of those little requirements from lottery, where lottery would say we only give you money for the redevelopment of renovation or rebuilding of existing facilities. He says, when you do that, you perpetuate the status quo. Because there is no way in an area where Kora comes from in Ashton that one day you'll be able to build a basic facility there, because the notion of lottery is to renovate existing facilities and all that. Say, there's no way Kora would come and say, Prof, our people in that small corner of the land in Ashton do not even have a basic facility, they don't have a basic pool and to build there. Because lottery will say, no, we only cater for the existing renovation of the building. He's saying, that concept has changed. That concept has changed. They're building now for both renovation and the new facility, because if they do new facilities, they increase the facilities where facilities are not available. And then I was impressed by that kind of an approach that lottery is beginning to take and say, this is what we want to do. He even said to members, the best people to can inform lottery where the need of the people is are members of parliament when they do the oversight. Members of sports must be able to say, DG, tell Prof that in Ashton where I stay, I think there's nothing like a basic facility there. Let us do it. They said that they do what you call deliberate intervention. They will go there, look there, do an assessment, and put a basic facility there. What the way? You're saying the lottery DG had never assumed what you call the state of the nation national agenda. Saying it is never. State of the nation addressing the president talk about facilities and sports. Lottery will talk about graveyards and social development. It will never talk to what the president talk about. When every department would make a U-turn and speak to what the president speaks about during the state of the nation address. That is what the prof was saying to us. And then I said, I think this is a correct person who understands the turnaround. And then I was very impressed about what he said to us. I think that is what we want from the people. And I think these honorable members, that's what they're going to do. What has happened to Makis Fontaine when you go to your Beaufort West JJ? In that small town of Makis Fontaine, there's a facility there. It's in the middle of the Karoo. And then when you go there, you'll find sports and recreation is done. The abolition houses is there. Hot water is there. Everything. And there's a basic facility. That small area of 500 families there goes to that facility and go and enjoy. So if a sport could manage to put basic facility in such a remote areas like Machiesfontein, I think with Lotto, we have to do the same. We have to do the same. So I'm just sharing this with you, DG, so that whenever you engage with the Lotto, this is what they have given to us as. The clustering of schools is fine. The issue of the handling of the application at DG, what's the matter that the prof raised? He gave us a shocking. Always when I get shocked, I don't forget that. He says to us as a committee, if there are 4,000 applications, those applications are adjudicated after a year. That's what he said. Saying those applications are adjudicated after a year. So if you put an application now for anything that is related to Lotto, you must know you are going to take 12 months before they adjudicate it. But what is shocking is out of 4,000 applications, they are only adjudicating to 400. Is it 50 or 400? Yeah. That's 150. Very little amount of money, application. 4,000 adjudicate 150. I said, is it true? He said, yes, that is the reality. Because people that are dealing with adjudication, they do another thing, and they, at the same time, they are not giving 100% attention to this application, so that this application must go and translate to what you're intending to do with the money that you're applying for in Lotto. That is what he said. He raised what we have been consistent about. See, I like one thing about this committee. Anybody doesn't threaten us, and we don't go back. If we said a statement, we will stick to that statement up until we die. We said there's a rampant conflict of interest in Lotto. The former chair, that guy, it was the former chair.
Oh,
Foster. Joe Foster was the former chair of this. We drew to his attention and said, he said to us, as soon as I walked there, I could see there's a rampant conflict of interest here. But there was nothing that I could do because people who are having an authority on the lottery and trading industry, there's nothing that you can do about that. When this new prof comes, when you ask him here a week ago, he said that there's a rampant conflict of interest. Because he said to him, how do you have a president of SASCOC? He's the chair of the distribution agency. And the other president also is sitting in the lottery. And almost everybody there is a member of SASCOC with his own federation. But very interesting, those federations that are Mickey Mouse Federation are getting millions of money. They table tennis get 23 million rand. Table tennis gets 23 million rand. Athletics get 1 million rand. How do you make reasoning out of that? How do you make reasoning out of that? You can't make reasoning out of that. It's because there are people who are sitting there. When it is his federation, he's the president of that federation. When the application for Lotto comes, adjudication, he has everybody, tell everybody that this one, I want us to agree. It should be this 23 million rand. And then that application goes through DG. And then he said that, but it's wrong. He said that, I am going to make another attempt. At least we must do things that are ethical. Because in the manner in which things are there, I agree with you as a committee that they're not right. And they're not right, DG. And you sit in that lottery, DG. You can't sit in that lottery with a clear conscience where you are a referee and a player at the same time. And your federation is the most benefiting when other people's federation don't benefit anything there. I don't think you'll sleep with a clear conscience. The only thing that would make you leave a lotus is that thing. But for any other reason, I'm saying you're right there. But if it is me, Bhutan, I will not sit there with a clear conscience of that kind of a thing. I said to him, he was laughing, I said, I will agree if people are throwing what you call javelin. See, this company is from our committee. I'll talk to Grace, and talk to Mackenzie, and say, hey guys, there's my application coming there, please, man. I want you to consider it. You're throwing a javelin, it's fine, but at least you have a little bit of a moral base of not being part of a referee and a player at the center. I'll rather throw this javelin, I'll come across it up there when I walk. I throw it and walk, and then I'll pick it up there, because that's what other people are doing. And then I said, I think you can do that, but under normal circumstances, I don't think it is correct. It is not correct. And the issue of the nomination of some people in the lottery DG, this Harold Adam, you get him everywhere. You get this Harold Adam anywhere. I don't know where is he making an impact, because everywhere you go to Drug Free, you get him. You go to this, you get him. You go to Athletic South Africa, you get him. You go everywhere, you get him. When is he making an impact, this Harold Adam? I want to check where he really makes an impact. Or we have only Harold Adams in this country and other people that are there and that are really can't do anything. It's wrong. It's wrong. The prof spoke about the blueprint for sport. I want to ask DG the honest question that many questions have been asking. Do we have, or maybe Prof. DG has a different understanding about the blueprint for sport. Do we have a print for sport, whether it's blue or brown or what? Do we have anything called a print for sport in this country? Because Prof. say that it's difficult because the department doesn't have a blueprint for us to say this is where the department is moving. This is a direction, and our funding must be informed by this policy document. And Suka is not here. Suka, when I arrived here, said that DG, I am taking it that this department does not have a blueprint for sport. And the message is saying, what do you mean by a blueprint? We have a blueprint for sport. Maybe if you explain to us what you understand by this blueprint or by any other print in as far as sport is concerned. Because Suka was saying, the blueprint is a document that will even show us as sports people that for us to be able to have an effective sport in this country, even the costing for that is this. And then that kind of a document would be a guiding document or a document that we're going to use for us to have a healthy sport in this country. So I just want to ask from the DG using this liberty around the issue of the last point, DG, is the last point. The Portfolio Committee on Sport, DG, wants to request you once more. You see, DG, you are going to get qualified report again at some stage, because provinces, on the conditional grant that you give to provinces, you don't have a dedicated person, Prof. Prof, is it difficult for the department to employ 9 people? Each person responsible for a province to check all the necessary document, information, and everything in as far as this conditional grant is concerned. And that person must be able to give to your finance section and give whatever the document is needed, and so that at least there should be no emphasis by the director, by the auditor general. The auditor general says the Department of Sports gives grants to provinces, but it doesn't have the capacity to follow this grant from provinces and check whether these grants are yielding the necessary outcome or the envisaged outcome by the department. The other thing, other documents are not reaching the department. The reports are reaching the department late. because provinces are not prioritizing what is required by national departments. And when you ask the national department, they say that, it's provinces. But they said, provinces, if provinces don't have capacity, why are you not having Bhutan and say, you are in charge of the Free State? Everything in as far as the conditional grant, mass participation, and everything is needed, you are going to assist that province in dealing with these issues so that at least we move away from the matters of emphasis from the Auditor General and the disclaimer from the Auditor General. And we want to ask from you, how much are you paying them? 1 million? At what level are those people? Ordinary junior clerks, and then are they chief directors or what? So that we can check the cost factor on those vis-a-vis efficiency and the best model to run the department and accountability. Because your department, DG, through Kelly, would give us a list of federation that the department has bought equipment for them. When you go there, you don't even get those federations. You don't get them. And then say that, you see, if there was somebody that said that, come with us. If there is a mass participation program going on Wednesday, come with us. We are going to such a place. And we are not going to inform that officially in your department when you go in there. We just inform you and say, Gigi, next week, we are going to such a place. Because they phone. And at times when they phone in an office where you are sitting as a member of parliament. You're sitting in the office, the phone call says that, please, you must not tell them that we have not come here and all that. And on a Monday, and they take a risk on a Monday, we are in the constituency offices on Monday, and the call comes from your department. It's true. It's not a story, this scenario. A phone comes from your department and say, please, don't tell them this and this and this and this, and then the portfolio committee is coming, don't deal with your citizens. So, okay, it's fine. And that member is a member of the portfolio committee. He's sitting, receiving a phone that comes from the department, where the department is trying to say, please don't give them a proper information. This is a fact. I think, DG, those are the things that we wanted to discuss with you. But we are going to, when this program now is final, it's got the date, it's got everything and all that, by the time that Mrs. Naidoo said that we're going to do, we are going to check the DG, not in the department, DG is an accounting person. If we talk to the DG about that, the DG will talk to his people. We're going to check the DG on that. There's a DG. Mackenzie was in KwaZulu-Natal, in this area that is in your document. There is no activity there. Can you explain? Cora was in the Western Cape. According to your calendar, there will be a Craven week for rugby. There was never a Craven week. It was a rain week. There's nothing that has happened there. Can you tell us what has happened? That's how we're going to check you on that. And the issue of the of KwaZulu-Natal convict Randall, it's ugly, that thing that is going on there. But I think now it's going very well. I've just interacted with it 2 weeks ago. See, Ina Kronje and Rashban had a theft battle. Ina Kronje says, in terms of the Schools Act, this is my school. My people, my children, like Mamobe. Say, this is my school, and therefore you can't come in here, when a Rashbansi, because you are dealing with sports. It's wrong, that kind of, completely wrong politics in that way, because it's an integrated approach. It's another sector playing this role, and then another one. The Department of Education of Sports was not going to give teaching in the class after school. The Department of Sports comes in and do its work around school sport at school level. But there was that tip battle. I think Mrs. Naidoo knows that. It has been coming since the inception of Rajbansi as the MEC there, up until when he left. It has just been corrected now. I'm saying, during the World Cup, when he went there, I met Obed Mlaba and the MEC, and we spoke about it. And then I was not a very nice person when we spoke about it. And then now I can see is coming in now. There is no territorial claim. And say, here is my space. Don't invade my space. There is that kind of a thing, DG. So I hope the issue of KwaZulu-Natal is going to be resolved, and then there will never be anybody claim the space. But Comrade Randall, the issue of the school sports, that the children, learners are my children, are my property, and you sports, your property is balls and key. By education, some of education people is wrong. It's a wrong concept altogether, because we have to work together there and assist each other. DG, I think you must not talk about everything that I said. I think one or two things that you wanted to respond to. But I was just giving you what I wanted to give you on behalf of these members.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much. I think it would be irresponsible of me not to say something about one or two of the things you just said. Perhaps I should start with the last one, that I hold the chairperson accountable this time for not reporting to me who this person is who told you not to provide information. I think that I can think of five charges that I can throw at that person. So let me have the name. I would want to see who is undermining the work of this department, and I'll definitely make sure that they are dealt with. Chairperson, indeed, quite a number of things. I think you're right. On the part of the parastatals who have bought tickets for the World Cup, it's for them to explain how that is linked to their own businesses and their business strategy. And parastatals operate within that domain, and I really I have appreciation for the comments that you've made, and also the dilemma that some of the parastatals have. Of course, Jefferson, I have not bought any tickets, but it's wrong to say, because people tend to forget that ultimately it's the Department of Sport and Recreation who's been organizing, who's been responsible for 2010. The fact that we happen to have appointed a local organizing committee is just that. Of course, we didn't have full control over the allocation of tickets, but in reality, there was no need for us to purchase tickets, knowing that in terms of the agreement with FIFA and the LOC, there would be allocations made, and we could try and spread to our stakeholders, although we know the demand far outstripped the available tickets that we've had. But I understand the dilemma with other stakeholders who saw it as part of their business strategy, and they can best speak for themselves on that. On the issue of the lotto, just to clarify that I'm a member of the National Lottery Sport and Recreation Distribution Agency, not the board itself. And so just to make that clarification. And I have also taken note of your concern around possible conflict of interest. Certainly, I wouldn't be able to sleep if I know that people are both referees and players when it comes to their applications. And I can assure you, for the time that I've been sitting there, whenever a person has a direct interest, he or she must recuse himself from that discussion. So at least we have those kind of safeguards. But yes, certainly, there are the other nuances that I think the lottery board itself is best able to address. We have made our stance clear in that regard as the Department of Sport and Recreation. Chair, the other area that on the question of whether we have a national or a blueprint for sport, the simple answer is yes and no. Yes, in the sense that if our white paper that we've had is supposed to chart the way forward in broad terms, and our plans that we have should speak to that. Clearly, what the challenge is it is fairly outdated, because a lot has happened since. We have those white paper and the Sports Act put in place. We subsequently had the dissolution of the National Sports Council and the formation of SASCOC, and all those developments that clearly change the playing field quite radically, as well as the subsequent developments broadly in the field of sport and recreation. And that is why I wouldn't want you to postpone this engagement that you've said we should have around the white paper. I think the work is far advanced, and even before we finalize it and put it out for public comment, it would be very useful for this committee just to have a sense of what's contained in there. Because the white paper itself will put the broad policy the parameters for us in the different areas of sport administration and sport policy. But that is the important precondition to having this blueprint that we all want. In fact, I've said to the team that I really don't want us to get to the point of waiting until we have a white paper on the table. Simultaneously, we need to do two things, and that is work towards the national sport plan on the one hand, and to look at how we are organized and structured to give effect to the national sport plan and the white paper for sport. Chairperson, it is really the national sport plan that should become that blueprint, that master plan. And this is why I'm saying that if that sport plan is in place, then everyone, including the national lottery, the federations, and other macro structures, should act in concert to make that plan a reality. So the national sport plan will flow out of the white paper, the revised white paper, and I've already given the instruction that the work should commence on the national sport plan immediately. So that is currently happening, and I think we should look forward to the session where we engage you on the policy proposals contained in the white paper as a precursor to the national sports plan. On the issue of the conditional grant and you know your concern about qualifications and other adverse opinions, Chairperson, I didn't want to comment on it, but just for you to know that yesterday we had an audit committee meeting and the Auditor General was there, the department, and so for the first time in 6 years we have an unqualified audit opinion, Chair. Indeed something to feel good about, but you know, it's not something that I want to boast about, because I know you would tell me that a fish shouldn't be thankful for being able to swim. We expect it to run a clean ship and to have good governance. We've really tried systematically to get closer to that, and it's beginning to pay off. We're not completely there. Quite a number of things that will happen for us to really have this vibrant movement in sport, and for government to really lead in that regard. But I'm quite pleased that we've been able to get there under the difficult circumstances, you know, because there are lots of other challenges elsewhere. When it comes to the issue of the conditional grant, yes, quite clearly, you're right. We are a very small department, and we often misunderstood. Because it's a national department, we largely operate in the realm of facilitation and policy and those things. And then when it comes to getting the work done, we do so through others, whether it's the provinces, the federations, the schools, and so on. And that's often not understood. And yes, indeed, if that is the case, then we must have mechanisms in place to make sure that those partnerships and agreements that we have formalize that people should deliver on it. The conditional grant is a huge, large amount of money that we send through provinces. We have put various things in place, and we will come back to you to share the detail of some work that we've done with National Treasury through the Technical Assistance Unit to build our monitoring and evaluation system. Also now, as part of the organization or the reorganization and the alignment of our structure to make sure that we better able to resource the management of the grant in particular, as we also at the same time strengthen our monitoring and evaluation capacity, so that when we come here to you to say this exists at this place, that we can really be certain that I'm not giving you wrong information. It's not only you who will hold me to account, but as you know, in a year's time, the Auditor General will more and more express opinions on performance information. And so when we do provide information, and there must be verifiable sources that speak to that information. And if you can't verify it, and I can't verify it, then we have a serious problem misalignment between money voted and what we see on the ground. So those challenges are things that we're currently working on to make sure that we improve our M&E system and our ability to really verify our performance information and to make sure that you go, when you go there and you expect to see something, that you will either see it or when you don't see it, that we have acted to address those issues. So yes, Chair, thank you very much for those comments. I think, as you can see, you know, we all would all want to see greater momentum and for things to happen faster. But I'm quite confident that we're beginning to make the impacts that we've been working for. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Tish. Thank you so much, Tish. I think we're excited about after 6 years of hard work that the department has come back to its original track. I think we're very happy about that. Members of the community were not very popular from both of you and the minister, but they were not very nice, and that strained a lot of relationships. But we didn't care about the relationship. We cared about accountability of what we're supposed to give to the public as a clean audit, exactly telling our responsibility and our capacity to be able to use the funds that are appropriated to the department. The department is able to appropriate to other people and be able to give a feedback. And it has been not an easy, nice...
Perhaps just to say there's a big difference between a clean audit and an unqualified audit. I don't know if anyone is able to get a clean audit, but certainly ours is unqualified.
And at least an unqualified report. A qualified report is a problem. Even on this unqualified report, there'll be some matters of emphasis that in an event you don't attend them, they will result to qualifications. And then I think when they say that this matter for now is a matter of emphasis, it means you have to attend to it now, because in the next round, and then it is going to create a problem for you. And we have been taking care of those kind of things and say, DG, this one is a problem. This one is a problem. And then it was never a nice time, and when you call the department, but we're beginning to have nice times now in the work that we have done for a long time. And then I thank you, because I've got a letter from the Auditor General's office. They want to meet me on the 27th and the 28th as the chair around the issues of the what they want to discuss with me there. I don't know what is it. And then so I'll hear what they want to discuss, because just that they wanted to discuss with me of the workings of the Auditor General and the department that accounts to us. So we'll hear what they're going to say. I'll share that with you and then and find out what is it. But thank you very much also. But thanks for Randall, although he has left, although there's been a miscommunication. But I am sure before the end of the year, you shall at least have a document in your hand that is now telling us the story, the full story now. So that's why we're calling you quickly, because we don't want you to have an impression that we've forgotten about what we're doing with the department. We wanted to remind you that we're dealing these things, and then we'll call you from time to time so that we clear off the road. And when the road is clear, then we can drive. So we're beginning to drive now. Thank you very much, FDG, for your time and for your coming this night too. And then I'm sure we are on the right course now. I'm one person who doesn't really give accolades to people as easy as all that. But I'm sure I can see we're going somewhere. It was difficult. We're going somewhere. But we have to battle with education to be able to be on the same mood as we are. But the Director General, engaging him, you can see he's willing, he's taking the same direction. But there's somewhere on the other lower level where there are things that are not right. So we must put our hand a little bit deeper and find out where the problem is. Because on the surface, everything is fine. And then when you go down, there's a little bit of a problem there. So we must check what is the problem there. But thank you very much for coming. Members, let's sit and finalize the the minutes. And we are going to take a very short time, then we'll be through. Honourable members, the set of minutes are within your hands. Set of minutes are in your hands, and then let's start with the minutes of the 20th. Who's proposing for the 30th minutes to be adopted?
I was present.
Cora proposed that must be adopted.
Yes.
Grace secondly. Thank you. The minutes of the 3rd of May, the 2010 committee, and the whole city.
Yes.
Lindy will propose JJ second. Let's go again to the Tuesday of the 4th. The Education Department on the school sport. You remember the meeting that we had between education and school sport? JJ? JJ proposes the adoption. Lindy second this time. The last set of minutes on Tuesday, 3rd June, Cora proposes.
Can I just cover something?
Yeah.
In the attendance.
Yeah.
Honorable Sunduza's name is not reflected into a text. If you bring to the minute, you see a name appearing on page 4 two times. Because I read this name. Page 4. The 3rd paragraph and your 4th paragraph. 5th paragraph, 6th paragraph. If that's correct, then that's what it
does. Yeah. thank you, Kwan. But, Comrade Paul, you must check in other minutes. So, do that in there. I don't know why. Because your minutes are informed by that page that we signed. So, I don't know what informs you on this one. So you must take your attendance on the attendance register that is here that the members have signed, and then you will see other people are coming there. Because if you don't do that, and members are just going to come down on you heavy, because you know what, this thing is impacting on their assessment. It's impacting on their assessment. And then other people are going to be victims of assessment because you have not put them correctly there. Because when they look at the percentage of the attendance, the portfolio committee, you find it very small, and then that person is going to be a victim. So please, let us not victimize them. Let us be very clear on what we want to do. But I remember, I think that brings us to the end of the meeting, and then we will be meeting in the next week on the 3rd. Yeah, we're meeting on the 3rd on that. We're meeting with our own indigenous coaches and all those things. So we'll be having that meeting that night. And the following week is the meeting that we're going to have now with the whole city around how we make the stadiums sustainable. So I would plead to you that that meeting is very important. I would wish everybody to be part of that meeting. And people who are not alternates to other committees must attend that meeting. If you are an alternate in this committee, then you can go anywhere. But if you are not an alternate, the committee comes first. Thank you very much. Cora, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I thank you in particular the way you eloquently have put your points and then first round and second round.
Second round also.